Hello and welcome to another episode of Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained, the most wonderful podcast from three separation anxiety specialists from across the globe. And we've got a really exciting one for you tonight, but I'm not going to say any more now. My name's Sarah McLaren and I'm from Separation Anxiety Solutions in the UK, and I am with...
Hello, I'm Ness Jones. I am from Australia and my business is called Separation Anxiety and Dogs Decoders. Over to you, Stacey.
I'm Stacey Bell from Focus Fun in the US. Today we have a super awesome episode planned with Mia and Sam. We are going to do kind of a case study. They were some of my very favorite clients. And we are going to talk all about their experience with their dog, Miss Nona, and the training and where they are now. So Mia and Sam, why don't you guys all say hi so people can hear your voices, and then tell us how you guys found Miss Nona.
Hi, I'm Mia.
Hello, I'm Sam.
And yeah, we've had Miss Nona since February now. We were coming home after a workout and went to make a left turn at a light and just saw this dog sprinting at full speed down the road. We made a left to follow her. At the time, didn't know it was her, but yeah, usually when you find a dog, you don't catch it. You just kind of chase the dog for a little bit and then you lose the dog. So yep. We pulled over and Sam whistled.
Yeah, we were just driving next to her at like 20 miles an hour as she sprinted down the road and just whistled and she started coming to the car. So
nice.
We pulled over and Mia opened her door and this... German Shepherd Husky mix just climbed into her lap and we kind of realized that it maybe wasn't the safest thing in the world what we were doing.
100% sure it was a dog at the time. Yeah. So we just had this giant animal in the car.
Yeah.
And the night before it had been -6 here in Denver.
Wow.
And
oh,
so
wow.
She had icicles on her face. You could see her bone. She was so little sad baby. And it was really late at night. So we called the shelters and of course no one answered. So we were like, okay, like we'll get her home. And then she was home for a night. And then, took her to the vet the next day and just kind of got her checked out. Everyone seemed
checked
to be
for
good.
A microchip.
Yeah, no microchip. Called a bunch of shelters, called all the vets. And after like 4 or 5 days of taking care of her, we had like flyered and postered to find her family. And we had no callbacks. And so we called the shelter and kind of explained. And at this point, we had had 1 day of seeing the separation anxiety start. She had really chewed up. She had started to chew up our mattress. This was the first time. So we called a shelter and we're kind of like, hey, like we're seeing these signs. So we're a little nervous about bringing her to a shelter. But like, should we, is that the best chance of getting her to her family? And the woman could not tell us that, but did strongly encourage that if the dog seemed happy, just to keep doing what we were doing and keeping her at our house. And now it's almost 6 months later. So
yeah.
I think so. When we first found her, the vet said probably 1.5 years. So we've actually decided that September 1st is her second birthday.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. And is she de-sexed? And you said she was really skinny as well. So she obviously sounds like she was living on the streets for a while, maybe.
Yeah, she was really emaciated when we found her.
And she was in heat when we found her. We'd never had an unspayed dog, so we didn't know, which probably explains like why she was out. And we didn't get her spayed for a while because if we thought the family was going to come forward, we didn't want to have done the surgery on their dog and have to explain that. But eventually she did get spayed, which I'm sure we'll talk about later and how that affected her behavior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Good for you guys. She'd probably be dead now if you hadn't. I mean, seriously. No, and those sort of temperatures living out on the streets and, you know, that hungry and
yeah, she's a little street dog, but she loves the house. She loves the cold too. She is a husky.
She's really
very true.
Yeah, not enjoying the summer at all.
So you mentioned it a little bit that she you realized that she was not happy with being left when she ate a little bit of your mattress. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we had gone out again, I think, to work out and came back. And
so we had her locked in the bedroom because we have two cats. And at this point, she was still a pretty new dog. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to just separate them while we were gone. So yeah, we had her in the bedroom and she, yeah, just tore up the whole corner of the mattress closest to the door. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really bad. There was like blood stains from, I guess, her teeth and her gums, and she chewed the handle of the door. So even today, we still have the bite marks in the door handle. And yeah, we were really surprised because in the house, she is absolutely wonderful. Like, doesn't even make a peep, just like lays next to us and hangs out. But yeah, it happened the one time. We didn't know anything about it at the time. And we tested again, just like going out on errands, and came back and she had done it again. And that's when we were like, okay, it's kind of how we came across the podcast. Cause until we started working with y'all, we just did not leave her at all. Like, we just found any way not to. And I'm in grad school. He was working from home at the time, but anyway, it was still really hard not to ever leave the house without the dog. So
yeah, that is a big challenge. So what made you feel like you wanted to reach out for help?
Yeah, I think that feeling of kind of like being trapped and not knowing how we were ever going to be able to go do things together again. Mm-hmm. Also, we are pretty young and not very wealthy, so we can't afford to replace things when they get destroyed. We still have the same mattress. We just like move it around and put the sheet over.
That's like a expensive thing we own.
Yeah. So. So yeah, we just we didn't know what to do, and learning more about separation anxiety and knowing like it, because when we spoke to people would be like, you know, you could try crate training, you could try leave them with like a nice toy. And of course we never tried the crate training because we were worried about her injuring herself, but mm-hmm. we tried like the Kong with the peanut butter and stuff, and if she knew we were leaving, she did not care about that treat. Yeah. And yeah, learning more about how like she was going into full-blown panic attack. I mean, like, she was already so skinny. It just made us feel so bad for this dog that we knew we had to get help somewhere to make it safe for her.
And what sort of ways did you employ to kind of manage your absences? So, you know, apart from, I take it, one of you would be at home at all times. Did you do any other kind of, you know, doggy daycare or pet sitters or friends or family or anything like that? Or was it just you two?
At the time, it was just us. Now we have some more supports in place. But
yeah, now we have a few people who, like, sometimes Nona will go over to one of our friends' houses if we need to go somewhere. We've done a few like trips and stuff since doing the training, and have had like how dog sitters just come and stay in the house while we're gone. But at the time, yeah, it was just
you guys. A lot of pressure for you.
Yeah, thankfully it was still lockdown, so he was working from home, but I still wasn't. So it was just a lot of split trips. If we wanted to go on dates, there were things she could come with us, so groceries and things like that. But Yeah, that was mostly the managing, because we were really, we're brand new to the city, so we didn't have that support network when we first got here. Now we have it built up better, which is a lifesaver, but at the time it was pretty difficult.
Yeah, how did you feel when you came home and you know, she'd torn apart your mattress? What did it make you feel like?
It was just like, we were already uncertain about like if we'd be able to keep this dog. We'd had conversations about not owning a dog before we found her. So it was definitely feeling like, oh, maybe we are in over our heads, you know, maybe. Like, we didn't really want to bring her to a shelter the whole time, but it was like, maybe we won't like have everything equipped to take care of her properly, so.
Yeah, and at the time it was scary too, because seeing that and seeing that she had caused like personal injury to herself was scary, because we were like, okay, well, if we bring her to the shelter, this is going to magnify for the next person who has her. She's going to be abandoned again. And just that like fear. And I come from a mental health background, so I'm like diagnosing this dog left and right. she needs to have that secure bond before she's gonna feel comfortable and like all this stuff. But yeah, just like really sad for her and really frightening for us, because we also, again, we have the two cats. So we are really nervous. What is this gonna look like if she's out with the two cats in the room? Because they seem fine together, but you know, you can't tell. So pretty nerve-wracking at the time.
But even if you'd left her out, it might have been the couch next that she destroyed or exactly. Something else. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well done. Do you think you recognized it as separation anxiety, or did that take a little bit of time?
I think we pretty quickly. I, growing up, had a dog that if we went on vacations, he'd destroy our couch.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of recognized, I'll come in and there's like stuff torn up everywhere. Like, kind of knew that was like a separation anxiety thing. So I think that was kind of our first assumption when we came in.
Yeah, I think at the time we weren't sure if it was like a natural, just like, I haven't had a puppy in years, so I was like, I wasn't sure if it's just like, this is a puppy and this is what they do, or we didn't exercise her enough, or if it was something bigger. But once we started learning more about like how separation anxiety manifests, we were kind of like, we're pretty sure if this is what's going on, this seems more intense than just getting into the trash or making a mess around the house.
So what was the process like for you, like once we— Is that Raisin?
Yeah, this is Raisin.
There's Raisin.
Do you want to say what Raisin is, Stacey?
Oh, yeah, Raisin is the cat. One of the cats. The other one is Gully.
Gully.
So anyways, yeah.
Hang on, before we go on, Stacey, how did you come up with the name?
Raisin got her name because
I meant the dog. Oh. Yeah, tell us about the cats as well, because they're pretty cool names.
So Raisin got her name because she only has one eye, and when we found her, again, she was another street cat. When we found her, the second eye was like shriveled up in her head, so it's kind of gruesome. But she got it removed. But I was teaching a first grade class at the time and asked them, like, kind of told their story. And the class voted on naming her Raisin for the raisin eye that was inside her. But
gosh.
I never knew that.
Yeah, it's not the most beautiful story, but it really fits her. And then Gully got his name just because he had no name for months, because we could not figure a good one out. And then one day we started calling him Gulliver, and it just kind of hit, and his nickname is Gully.
Is he a rescue too?
We got him through like someone was fostering, but we didn't manifest the cat as we did the other animals. But Miss Nona got her name because we didn't want to name her for a while when we were still trying to find the family, because that would be like a little bit too much of attachment. So we called her Miss Dog, and we called her No Name a lot. And so Nona is short for no name. And I just like the formality of calling her Miss Nona because she's very fancy.
So what was the process like for you guys? So once you found me, tell us about how that process was from your perspective.
I think you have more on the beginning of this.
Cool. Yeah, so I had looked up a bunch of dog training podcasts, both for the separation anxiety, but also just to learn how to like teach her sit and better be better on walks and stuff. But after hearing y'all's, like, everything you were saying was resonating a lot, so I sent him an episode and was like, hey, I think we should get in contact with this person. That's when I sent you the email. And then once we got started, it was pretty cool. We took her into the vet and began that conversation. The vet gave us some, like, emergency anxiety medications for really bad instances. I don't think we ever ended up using it, but we did get that. So we started that conversation. And
I just ask you, you said your background's in mental health. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't have had any kind of hesitation in going to the vet and asking about your options in that case. No. Yeah, it's interesting because often people with dogs with separation anxiety do feel really uncomfortable about putting their dogs on meds because they think they're going to turn into zombies or change their personality, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I'm just curious about that side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wasn't too nervous. If she needed it, I knew that it would be helpful for her. The other options I had gotten to and heard from other people, I wanted to hear from the professional side of things first before trying anything, because I've heard CBD can be really helpful as well for some, but I even before trying that I wanted to speak to the vet, and I yes, I'm very by the book when it comes to these animals, so I personally don't have too much of a problem. I was a little bit nervous about the cost of long-term anxiety medication, if that was necessary, which is part of the reason I wanted to go through the training, as to not, because from that mental health perspective, it's always, you need both. Like one won't solve the thing without the other. Same with people. So yeah, I felt like that was probably a good decision to get her checked out. And they were like, yep, seems like she has it. And we're like, okay. And they're like, yeah, it's tough. Good luck.
but you said you never used it.
No. So they didn't. They gave a, I don't remember what it was called.
I think it was trazodone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So just for like emergency situations, if we knew we were going to have to leave her for an extended period, we could give that to her. But we really more just tried to avoid those situations until we felt like she was ready for them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we never got a like daily prescription anti-anxiety medicine or anything like that.
Yeah. Haven't ended up.
So because Miss Nona was a new addition to your family and we didn't know what her life was like when Mia and Sam had them, we knew that there was a possibility that her behavior was more of a settling in behavior or then separation anxiety. So we decided when we started out, okay, let's set her up for success when being left alone. And then if it is because she's settling into their home, if that's what the anxiety is due from more than from a separation, like a true separation anxiety standpoint, then she'll sail through the training but we're still setting her up for success there. She's not going to be feeling that anxiety and having those negative experiences. So when we started, we decided that we would just see how she did without the meds. And then if she needed the meds, then we would go ahead and add that.
Yeah.
How long had you actually had her when you started doing the training with Stacey then?
Not long, probably 2 months.
Yeah, maybe 2 months.
Yeah,
because it was clear it was an issue pretty quickly.
Yeah. And at this point, we both had the threat of going back to work, going like all these things of
being gone again, coming around the corner. So we knew we had to get it under control, because at that time we didn't have a sufficient enough support system that we would have been able to manage. So we knew we're like, we just need to get 2 hours. I can get home if we can get to 2 hours. Yeah, so
we started working together March 12th.
Oh, so not even. Session.
Yeah, like
yeah, month. Barely a month. Yeah, we got our February 14th. So, yeah.
So one of the first things that we did, and I think when we did the assessment, we did this, was let her out of the room. Just give her free roam. And we did the assessment and got up to, I think, about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So she started out kind of really solidly there. And then one of the funny things that we saw, especially early on with the exercises, was that Raisin and Gully, the cats, would come to the door a lot, right? And so Miss Nona would be laying down like near the door, but not like right on top of the door. And she'd be like totally chilling. And then Raisin and or Gully would be coming to the door, and they would be sniffing the crack, and they would be, you know, pawing at the handle. And we're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Made me feel so bad. We would hear Gully like crying, and I was like, I know she had problems too. I was like,
yeah. So we kind of joked that it was a 3-for-1 that we would work through the separation anxiety for all three of them at the same time.
So the cats had separation anxiety.
You know, I don't think the cats had separation anxiety. I think they were more like, just what's going on here with you guys going in and out of the house. They really did get used to it pretty quickly, and wouldn't go near the door as much. But in the beginning, yeah, they really hung out in near the door a lot.
It's really interesting. I mean, cats can get it, can't they? So
yeah, they can. They can totally get it. So yeah, it was really interesting. And in the beginning, I was like, oh no. But then it just kind of resolved. They were very fun to watch during the exercises. When I was watching, you know, Miss Nona, they were very fun to watch, because the cats would be like all over the place, like climbing all over the place. And it was very entertaining. And Miss Nona is just like laying flat out, you know.
Cats are fabulous, aren't they? I mean, they really do. I mean, we've had a few conversations about cats and training. Have you yet to have a client with a parrot?
No, I haven't.
That'd be interesting.
Okay, so when we started working together, the process was pretty linear, meaning that she didn't really have many setbacks until why don't you tell us about what happened when she started having trouble again?
She was doing great. We were going on and on and on, and then she started not only having difficulties in the training, but like all around. Like, we were just seeing her being like just weird, overly needy, a little aggressive toward other dogs, a little aggressive toward men, like a lot of stuff. And then we took her into the doctor, found out she was in heat.
And again.
Like, she had just finished the cycle that she had been on when we found her. And this was only two months later, maybe. We were still within the 8 weeks, so not even. And so she had gone back into heat, because we had gone to get her like set up to get spayed, because we thought she was long enough out of the cycle that it would be a safe time to do it. And I guess we didn't know that she was in heat until they went to do the spay, and then they realized when they opened her up that she was in heat. Thankfully, they were still able to do the spay safely, and she was okay. They didn't know until she got into the surgery. But after her surgery, a lot of those behaviors went away. She just kind of leveled out a little bit. But yeah, when she was in heat, there was a lot of just like, just different, like it, you couldn't put your finger on it, but like her whole demeanor was just a little off. And I mean, I have sympathy for it, but she just needed a lot of love, a lot of cuddles, a lot of just like reassurance. Yeah, and she was just a little,
yeah,
I don't know, a little snippy.
Yeah, like, yeah. And didn't she also have a little bit of trouble with the, a little bit of resource guarding when the cats walked by as yeah. well?
Yeah. Yeah, she would get, if we gave her like a chew treat or a toy, if one of the cats walked by, she'd kind of like snarl at them.
Yeah, which we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, which isn't really characteristic. So yeah, that was definitely worse. And then also with the training, so I think we were up to being able to leave her for about an hour without any mm-hmm. real issues. And then, yeah, once her behavior started changing, I think she was starting to whine and
yes.
like, at like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really affected training. Like it affected everything about her. I mean, yeah. really, it really did. So, you know, I think it's really interesting. And that was right at the end of our 8 weeks. And so I felt so bad because they, you know, they were going in for this. And I just like, cause I think it happened, well, it was right near the end of the 8 weeks. And I was like, you know, just, it's such a big change in behavior. I think you need to take her to the vet to see if there's pain or if mm-hmm. she's not feeling well, or, you know, and then they're like, well, we have her spay surgery. So, you know, we'll ask the doctor about it when we take her in for that. So, that was the biggest kind of complicating factor, in our whole time together. Otherwise it was pretty smooth sailing for her. And yeah. So tell us about what happened. Like, so she recovered from her spay surgery, and then kind of her hormones leveled out. And what did the kind of rebound look like?
Well, it was tough for a little bit because she wasn't allowed to have any exercise during those 2 weeks. And she's a German Shepherd Husky, so she's pretty high energy. So we felt like we were starting from ground zero when she got out of the spay, just having not had any energy. She lost her walkability. She seemed to have regressed in some of her behaviors that we had been really working on. So once we finally got her exercised and got her kind of back to herself, we were able to start the training again. There was like a probably 3 week gap yeah. between that, but thankfully she rebounded pretty quickly, and we actually started making like really intense progress to mm-hmm. now where she's kind of a normal dog. Yeah, and we're able to, we still won't leave her alone for a full work day, but she's also a puppy, so I don't think that's unusual. But yeah, we had to do some of the training on our own. And we did that for a little while. This was when we got to longer periods. So we tried to do more of those small leavings. So 15, mm-hmm. 20 minutes here and there, like you recommended. And now she's pretty good for about 2 to 3 hours, as long as she gets her proper exercise during the day. We finally got the camera. We were using Zoom the whole time. We were actually working with Stacy, but then once we got off of Stacy, we got the camera and used that to monitor her. And yeah, she's doing pretty awesome. She'll still have her days, but
yeah, it seems like we can pretty well regulate it. Just if we know that we're going to need to leave her for a few hours in the evening, just make sure she gets a long walk or some dog park in the earlier part of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how much exercise she gets really seems to be like one of the biggest factors.
Mm-hmm.
We have both been out of town a few times. So we went to Austin, Texas, and then I stayed for a little longer than Mia did. Then when I got back, we tried to just like have an evening and just go play pool. And immediately when we left to go play pool, Nona was whining, and we could see that she didn't settle on the camera. So other kind of outside stress factors like that do seem right. To, you know, you kind of have to pick days that you're gonna.
Yeah, I think that's really smart that you guys are staying on top of things and realizing that those transitions or changes in routine or, you know, those types of things really do affect her as well as her level of exercise. So yay for you knowing your dog so well.
So when, so how did you find the actual process then, the process of working with Stacey, the day-to-day? How did you find that?
Yeah, the beginning is pretty easy. They're like really short times you go. It starts to get a little tougher around like the hour to longer areas. But it's honestly, it felt like good bonding with her, even though you're leaving the dog. Something about just building that trust feels really strong, and seeing her improve feels really rewarding. And then the process itself was great. I mean, we felt really supportive. Questions were always answered really quickly. And it's kind of cool. It's like a nice little routine you add to the day. And I feel like it's helped us with her training overall. It's just like getting to see progress is like motivating to go get more progress, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So what does life look like for you now? So, you know, kind of a before and after, not so much for Miss Noma, but for you guys.
Yeah, it's nice because we don't have like quite like 9-to-5 work schedules where we're both out for like 8 hours at a time still. So we're not having to leave her for 8+ hours, but we're able to like go on dates and hang out with friends and not necessarily like have to have the dog there. So yeah, it's just provided a lot of flexibility to like go do things that we want to do. And they don't have to necessarily be like outdoor seating at a patio restaurant or a brewery or, yeah.
It's also been helpful. It took us a little bit, but she's bonded with some of our friends as well. So she gets excited to see them, and she has, has other people. We basically rent her out. We live in Denver, so if people want a dog for a day, we're like, yeah, take her, like go do whatever. If we do both for whatever reason still have to go for like a full day, we have friends that can come watch her. And then we also have some people will pay to come watch her as a last resort. But she does well at other people's houses now, which is really nice as well. So we definitely feel like we have a lot more freedom. Still the responsibility of a 2-year-old puppy. Still needs lots of walks and lots of love and attention, but it feels like a reasonable amount and not overwhelming, life-consuming amount of need. She definitely seems to have leveled out at this point. So
I love that you've got friends that understand and aren't sort of saying, well, you know, you've spoiled the dog, or, you know, kind of victim blaming. because, you know, not everybody understands what it's like to have a dog with separation anxiety.
Definitely. And we've been pretty upfront with what her needs are, and really, especially with my close friends, just being very much like, if you can't like do what we need you, like we will find someone else. So like, please just tell us if that is reasonable. It does mean when we do pay, we pay a little bit more than probably the going rate is, but it's worth it to make sure. Because still with other people, we don't know how she'd react if like a stranger was leaving her. So when we have someone watching her, we try to ask that they stay for as long as possible. And if they need to leave, that it'd be like 1 hour at the most back with her.
No, I mean, you guys were really, really dream clients for me. Honestly, just willing to, you know, do the hard work, willing to build your village, willing to, you know, take her to the vet when we were worried about that, all the things that you guys were just really awesome. You still are really awesome, but when I was working with you, it was really awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, she's made insane progress, and she's a really cool dog. We really like her. she's really found her place in this crazy little household we have going right now.
She's a very, very lucky dog to have found you too.
Definitely. Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. I think everyone has this, but we'll have moments where it's just like, can we give her enough? Like, she needs a lot of walking. Like, when we know we've underwalked, I think we both feel a lot of guilt when we start seeing that turn into behaviors on her end. But I think we're both educated on it enough that we don't blame the dog. We know, like, okay, we need to step up. We need to be a little better for this dog. Because she's great for us. So, yeah.
Fabulous.
So would you recommend Stacey to anybody else, do you think?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think we have, so. No, it was really great. It was supportive. And I felt like we always knew what we were expected to do, which is really helpful because you can get advice from vets and you can get advice from behavioralists, which I think is really like valuable and important. But to have someone going over your training plan, looking at it individually is really, really helpful because I think had we tried to do it all on our own, if we hadn't seen perfect results after 3 weeks, we probably would have gotten discouraged. But having someone there to remind us, like, this is a marathon and you're going to see the progress by repeatedly doing this, I think was really helpful because 3 weeks can feel like a long time when you're doing these small steps. So, I think it was definitely great.
Yeah. And like, because it starts off, Stacey's training program starts off with leaving the dog in increasingly larger amounts of time, but like recording how the dog is while you're leaving. And for the first few weeks, Stacey like reviews the videos. And so we could go over, oh, she sniffed the door for a second. Was that a problem or was that normal? And kind of be able to tease out what's actually worth worrying about and what's just like normal behavior. And then kind of coming away with an understanding of, you know, we're trying to build increasingly large amounts of time without getting to a panic attack. And if you've kind of gone over that edge, that creates regression, and kind of having that understanding of how the training works when we're leaving made at least me, I think both of us, confident that we could continue doing the training after the 8 weeks and know what our like top line goals were.
And like, yeah, we've learned to read her a lot better. And one thing we actually wanted to let you know, Stacey, is like at first we were noticing that tail fall.
Yes.
And how that's a sign for her. But we realized the other day that she used to, like, she would only have the tail up when she was at her most happy. So like out on like a cold walk in the snow, something like that. And we realized she walks around the house now with her tail up. Like she always has it up. She's just like, we've seen her just kind of blossom into her real self and not this like kind of sad, scared dog self. So, yeah, it's been really cool to learn those signs. And I think without the guidance, we would have come back early way more than we needed to, just because she would have like panted for 1 second or walked away for a second. And we would have been like, oh no, no. But having the help of being like, oh no, that's okay. Like she resettled versus, oh, like that looks like she's really kind of hitting a line here, was really reassuring, like Sam was saying.
That's fabulous. Well done, Stacey. Well done, Mia. Well done, Sam.
Well done, Miss Nona.
Yeah, it's definitely a team effort.
So we'll say see you later. And she's gotten, well, I feel bad saying it, but she's gotten really good. You will see her, like, she'll be ears up, really excited, and you'll say that, and she'll just, like, close her mouth and look at us, like, aww. but the cue seems to really work because it does
it de-escalates because
she
sees us putting on shoes and she's like really excited. She's like, we're going somewhere. And being able to say like, okay, I'll see you later. She gets sad, but it's that better than like closing the door in her face.
And, you know. Yeah, pushing her away at the last second and getting out. So,
well, and I think most dogs are disappointed when we leave, even if they don't struggle with separation anxiety. So it's I think really normal for dogs to be disappointed when they're not coming with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. She gets more excited when we say you're coming with us, and then she comes up.
Party time. Gets really happy. When one of you, in your circle of friends, when one of them gets a dog that might have separation anxiety, what would your advice be to them?
Oh, go get help.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. I would definitely recommend this. Definitely recommend going to the vet and making sure, you know, it is the separation anxiety and not some sort of health thing that they're struggling with. Because, if they're in pain, it's not going to do anything. But once you know that it is the difficulty with that, I think it's really important. And also to look at, it can be tough to find trainers. There's so many different modalities. And I know what I believe in and what I find works, and to find like positive trainers and positive reinforcement and not using more aversive methods. I really appreciate that. And I would just tell people to do their research and really find someone who's gonna match with their lifestyle and also give their dog the best chance. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's what we appreciated and why we sought Stacy out is the view that it's like anxiety issue and like that they're genuinely having a hard time more than just like a behavioral issue and they're being bad, you know. Yeah. They're not willfully being bad, they're just having a panic attack, so you need to help them through it. So
that's exactly right, and they're not doing it in spite of you or to get back at you.
Yeah.
Right. Which it can feel like sometimes, but is not true.
Yeah, especially when they eat your bed.
Yeah. When I don't have a spot to rest my head, it's easy to get a little upset.
Well, Mia and Sam, thank you guys so, so much for taking time out of your Sunday to join us on the podcast and talk about your experience. I'm sure it'll be helpful and like super encouraging to people who are at the beginning of their journey. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Lovely story.
Thank y'all for having us. This is great. And yeah, it's been really, really helpful. So highly recommend. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Bye.
All right. Thanks for listening to this awesome episode. This is Stacy Bell with Focused Fun in the U.S. My Instagram and Facebook is Focused Fun Dogs, and you can find me at focusedfun.net.
And you've been listening to me, Sarah McLaren from the UK, from Separation Anxiety Solutions. You can find me on Instagram and on Facebook and my website, www.separationanxietysolutions.com.
And I'm Ness Jones. I'm from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded in Australia. You have been listening to Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained, and you can find us on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and other awesome listening apps. Please like, share, follow, etc., and give us a 5-star review. And we shall see you next week.
Yay! Bye. For listening. Bye. Bye. Thank you.